Welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. This is the show all about commercial property investing for the private investor, for those of you who want to create great cash flow. No matter where you are in the world, this is aimed at both individuals just getting started in commercial property and those with a growing portfolio. Through interviews, hard-learned lessons and tips from professional investors, we want to give you a constant source of inspiration and up-to-date information on what has worked and what hasn't worked, so you can make more informed decisions about your commercial real estate investments. Hello, hello, welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. During last week's episode, we had a conversation with John Williams about the IWG and instant merger activity and what it could mean for you and I as operators and investors. Funnily enough, before we had that chat, I'd already organised an interview with Lucy Watts so we could explore the reporting that instant can do for those of us that want to assess demand in certain locations. We'll go into the introductions with Lucy in a minute. But imagine having a report telling you all of the inquiries in a certain area over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, or even the average desk rate that's achieved in that area. Now, the interesting thing is that over the years, the company's built up a huge amount of data and contacts within the flex space industry and, of course, the wider commercial property market. As Lucy explains, they're well placed to give an informed and data-driven perspective of the trends that are going on and, of course, the models that are developing and what ones are working best. So we talk about operators, landlords, investors and, of course, the actual occupiers. I always find conversations with those at the cutting edge of flex space inspiring and exciting, and this chat was no exception. There is so much going on in the industry and it's growing year on year. In other words, the pie's getting bigger, which is almost always a good thing. Right, just before we listen to this interview, I just want to remind those of you who have just found us, there's lots of information for aspiring investors and operators in the previous 111 episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to ensure you can dip in and listen to many of those conversations and the more informational podcast episodes already up there in the ether somewhere. And of course, you can get new episodes to drop straight into your favourite podcast app by subscribing now. Welcome to the show, Lucy. Great to have you here. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much. Great to be here.
Great. And Lucy is an executive director at Instant Group in charge of operator and landlord solutions. So Lucy, sounds like you're in charge of everything that's important.
Absolutely. Looking after the operators and landlords is our goal. Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe you could just give us a quick summary of your career, Instant, because this isn't the first time that I've come across you. You've been at the group for a long time, 14 years, I think. Is that right?
16 years.
16 years. Wow. So maybe you could just give us a quick chat about how you've progressed through that company, the changes you've seen during that time.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks. So, 16 years in January, and I've seen the various stages that our business has gone through over those years. Obviously, when I joined, it was relatively small business, but growing rapidly. And that has been kind of my experience at Instant. We haven't ever stopped scaling, both in size of the team, but also just in terms of focus and how we're servicing clients and working with our industry. So it's kind of been a big growth journey. My background at Instant was actually starting out as one of the brokers in sales. So, there was a small team of us back then, and, I took on the job of growing that into the different regions, working with them, broader teams. And yeah, initially it was focusing on the UK market, but then we went into EMEA, US, APAC, and grew the sales team. So that was kind of my background, which was lots of fun, and I guess gave me the opportunity to really get to know the market, the industry, the operators and landlords over those years. So more recently, in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, my role has been really focused on the operators and landlords. And a couple of things really in terms of how we break that down. Firstly, we have the relationships with operators and landlords. So I have a team of people, and we have this structure set up globally around the world in terms of how we work with our partners, building relationships, working out how we can support the industry, and, working to make sure we bring good clients to the operators and help them fill their spaces. So that's kind of one of our key remits. And obviously that works well within our internal teams, where we're here to help them build their knowledge and get to know the operators as well. One of the other big areas that I oversee is the content side of our business. And when I talk about content, I mean the listings on our platform. So looking after the content activity, who are we listing, making sure we list the spaces on our website in the best possible way. That's the window to the clients, where client demand is coming from. We're generating, you know, circa 8,000 leads a month through that platform today, and that's only going to grow. I'm sure John filled you in on the kind of growth targets around that for things post the merger. And so I'm responsible for making sure we list those spaces in the right way. I have a team of people that look after that. And then the I guess the third area that I've been really focused on in the last few years, and this is in response to the market evolving and I guess changing, interest from landlords, investors, operators as well, on it is at accessing instance data. So we've got kind of 20 years worth of flex data that, you know, more and more people are looking to tap into that to try and get an understanding of how the market is growing, you know, where the supply and demand sits, and, you know, where there's opportunity to invest, whether that be through opening new sites in a portfolio that's already being established, or whether it might be with a, an investor that's looking to get into the flex market and, you know, starting out from scratch. So we've been building a data service for, I mean, we use our data in our business in many different ways. And in particular, you know, we want to make sure that data serves our clients, the end users, the occupiers who are looking for space. That's really important. But in terms of serving the industry, helping it grow, providing that insight has been a key area of focus. As I say, responding to that demand that we started to see growing a few years ago. And we've been building that over the last few years.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot to cover there. So basically, in that first part, you're talking about the operator and landlord relationships. Would it be right for me to assume that tends to be with operators that maybe have multiple locations, or landlords that have multiple locations, or indeed, of course, the customer? Do you deal with the actual occupier as well? Or does that tend to be?
That tends to be role? In our sales teams in the business, or our client solutioning teams who build the kind of accounts and work with our clients, you know, right from the digital sales team who are dealing from anything that comes through the platform, then through to our client solutioning team who have kind of long-term relationships built with enterprise clients. So they're managed over there. So this is much more about the operators and landlords that we have.
So it's dedicated to them. And what I've always been interested to know is how much are you seeing the operator as a percentage, and you may not know this number off the top of your head, Lucy, but in terms of landlord, actual building property investor and owner versus the number of operators, which one is working on a rent-to-rent operator model and which one is working on a landlord model? Is there a percentage split between that, the ones that you're dealing with?
Well, I would say I don't have the exact percentage split, but I would say it's definitely a higher percentage on that rent-to-rent model. But I think, you know, you were talking earlier about trends and, you know, what trends we're potentially seeing coming out. And I think, you know, during 2020, there was definitely, and this was already happening before, but I think it seemed to be more and more people from the operator side looking to go down the management agreement joint venture model route. That seemed to be certainly popular. And landlords, you know, looking to either self-deliver their own flex solution within their portfolio or partner with an operator that's in existence, but looking at creative ways to create a model that works for both the landlord and the operator.
Yes, so that began before COVID, but yes, certainly got accelerated when landlords were having leases, which don't automatically during a down period get vacated.
No.
It's just that when those come to an end, the tenant may decide I'm not going to continue with this. And it's over that period. I remember when the last recession came along, there was at least 4 or 5 years of fallout after the recession when these things sort of slowly work their way through the market, don't they? But it seems to be a change that's definitely here to stay, with landlords becoming more attuned to doing operational businesses, or at least partnering, as you say, with an operational business.
Yeah.
A lot of our audience are They're primarily, and I'm making this assumption, I don't know really, but I think a lot of our audience are driven by investing in the property themselves. So they would maybe look at themselves as landlords, but as they're starting out, they may automatically feel that operating the building is part of what they're going to do anyway. Mm. And have you seen an increase in the number of, I guess, entrants into the market that are doing that? Or is there still quite a lot of entrants into the market that are just doing operating business or they're just doing landlord? Are you seeing more new entrants doing both?
Definitely more new entrants doing both. But I think you can't underestimate the work involved in creating operations, as you will know. I think, you know, it's, and that's why getting the right kind of advice, support, and, you know, potentially getting exposure to successful operators is really important as part of that early stage. If you're thinking about setting this up, you need to work out, you know, what do you need to plan for, and spending some time understanding the industry, getting to know which operators are running really successful businesses, and what are the drivers behind that success. Because as I say, it's not simply around property. As we all know, that there are so many different reasons why clients are turning more and more to flex as part of their real estate portfolio. So you've really got to understand what's your proposition to the clients going to be, so that you've got space and you're going to think about developing a flex proposition. What is that going to look like? What's your brand? Yeah. What amenities are you offering? What's going to be the differentiator against the other options that are already in existence in that market?
Okay, so I want to ask you later on about that. We're going to come back onto that and what you're seeing and what your opinion is on some of those things.
Stop the bus.
Let's just talk a little bit about the data, right? About the research and the information that you guys have there and how maybe people could access that. Let's just talk through the typical maybe journey of somebody who approaches you. They're maybe looking at a new area. It's either an operator or a landlord, and they're looking to establish.
Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes.
Whether there's a market for what either a building they're looking at, or indeed a market for the type of operation they've been running successfully somewhere else. So can you talk us through the journey of how that would maybe happen for someone? Let's say they were looking in, let's just pick an area, let's say Birmingham.
Yes.
And they're thinking about going to that marketplace.
Yeah, so obviously we are getting lots of those types of inquiries around new markets that an operator or a landlord might be looking into. And, you know, firstly, we just need to understand what it is that they're looking for. So we have a set of standard market reports that can be created, both the kind of data-rich version where it goes into kind of granular level of data around the key metrics, I guess, that will help build a commercial model around a flex operation. So we're looking at supply, demand, pricing, occupancy data, all of those factors. And we have a couple of standard versions. One, as I said, is, you know, that goes into the data in detail that you can almost lift and put into a commercial model to build that plan out. We also have a kind of standard version of a report, which it's more suitable for those that maybe don't know the market at all. So they're trying to get not just the data itself, but also context around the data. So why, if Birmingham, for example, has seen really significant rate increases over the last 2 years, really understanding what's driving that increase. So using more market insight and expertise, not just the raw data itself. So we have a couple of kind of standard products that we can package and an operator or landlord can buy as they come. But actually, one of the things that's really popular is, you know, as I said, we find out what that operator is looking to achieve. You know, what's their objective? What's the interest? Do they have a specific building in mind? And maybe we need to go more macro level around the market to really drill into the opportunity. Or, you know, sometimes operators are very keen to make sure they're only comparing data from comparable operators or offering.
Offers, yeah.
Because, you know, you want to be able to benchmark what you want to produce as a product against similar products in the market so that you know realistically what's going to be viable and achievable from a rate perspective, a speed to occupancy, all of those factors that you need to consider when you're looking at opening a flex space. So we have these standard products, but really popular is a kind of more bespoke version of data. And then in many examples, we might start out that journey of working with an operator or landlord in leveraging the data that we hold. But more often than not, it evolves into a consultancy opportunity where we might work through that whole process with them. If it's a landlord, and we might be looking at they might be looking at partnering with an operator, we can run that RFP process for them, helping select the kind of most suitable operator in that market. And vice versa, actually, we have lots of operators coming to us saying, we've got 10 sites, we want to grow, we want to double over the next few years. Where should we go? And, you know, we want to go down a kind of a joint venture or management agreement route. Can you support that? And so introducing them to landlords that might have options that would suit that growth and that partner, we support that on that side as well.
That's great, Lucy. I mean, how many are in your team?
Within my team itself, we've got more people focused on content and relationships, and then we have the research team. There's four people within that are responsible for producing these kind of reports. Right. But, you know, as John was mentioning when he caught up with you last week, we invested some time ago in terms of really cleaning up our data and making sure that we could aggregate, anonymize, and pull that data in a more streamlined way. To be able to access it and produce these types of reports. So that's one way in which we've really focused on being able to scale it and make sure we can deliver the reports in a timely way. Sometimes they're needed, you know, we've got this building, we want to know, is it a building we should be pursuing? And they need that data quickly. So we focus on turning it around quite quickly if we can.
That's great. So for somebody that might be looking at developing a building or investing in a property, they might need evaluation to justify some borrowing. They might need some expertise from the local valuer on what they feel the market is. But actually, the types of product you're talking about producing, I would imagine, are very good for leveraging finance.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure you probably have a few asking for that, just so that you've got a deeper understanding of that market to be able to give them the information and the comfort for the lender's point of view. That's something you get asked for a lot.
Yeah, spot on. We're definitely, some of our clients are telling us that they're using the data to pitch to investors, landlords. Yeah. You know, we know that this market hasn't been data rich. Lots of investment and expansion decisions are, you know, justifiably made around experience and knowledge of what works and what doesn't work. So that, you know, many businesses have grown successfully using that kind of approach. But I think as the market is growing and, you know, more investors, more landlords, generally more people looking at how they can expand in this area, using data to inform those decisions and, you know, in some cases achieve investment has absolutely been something we've seen a growth area in.
Fantastic. So basically what we're saying there is there's a couple of standard products or there's the bespoke product.
Yes.
So, and we'll leave notes in the show notes if anybody wants to get in touch, Lucy, at the end to talk to you guys about that sort of stuff. But I just want to move on to something else, which is you're there at the front line. You understand what's going on within the market. And you just mentioned earlier on about trends and, I guess, successful operators or successful operations. And of course, there's so many other factors like, well, what's the location? Is that going to work in another location? And there's all those factors too. But just with a little bit of summary, what would you say some of those more successful operators are doing right now that is setting them apart and allowing them to grow quickly during this period?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the exciting thing is the industry hasn't stopped growing. So even during the pandemic, you know, we still saw supply increase. Some may have paused a little bit in acquiring new buildings, but certainly our platform continued to grow with new operators opening up inventory, which is fantastic. I think those that are successful at the moment, and this is no different probably to what was making successful operators a few years ago, I think it's probably still the same, but it's an evolution, is you know, as I was saying earlier, just thinking about who your clients are and what kind of environment and space and solution you're offering to that client is key. You know, flexibility that comes through flexible workspace has always been one of the key drivers for clients to use serviced offices or co-working space or whatever it might be called today. But I think there's much more going on now than just the flexibility it affords.
Yeah.
It's much more about the amenity that is offered through taking on this space. You know, more operators creating an environment where staff are keen to come to work. And, you know, that's becoming more and more important now. So many clients are thinking about how do they get their staff back into the offices, obviously post-pandemic, where, you know, office spaces in many instances are being underutilized. And so the clients are thinking about what, you know, what is on offer in their space when clients come to work. And I think what operators do, the successful operators do brilliantly, is create an environment with amenities on offer that, you know, meet those client requirements and their staff requirements. So I think, you know, that's the operators that do well and have always done that well are continuing to evolve and develop, and, you know, might be tech solutions that they're bringing in that help give data back to their clients around space utilization. But that evolution of what's on offer as an operator, the service you're providing to the clients, that is always going to be central in terms of why people use FlexSpace.
Yeah, so it's really, it's all that stickiness. It's all the other stuff that goes on around about there. And it used to be a networking event on a Friday, but it's kind of developed a little bit from that now.
Yeah, and I think as some of the operators, you know, when you think of short-term contracts that maybe are signed in the flexible workspace, the operator, you know, some operators have really long average length of stay with their client base. And that's really because they're providing much more than just the option to be short-term.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's the obvious operators that really think about what makes them different, and have created a brand that the clients associate with. And you know, some of those operators have been around for years, like Tog, that you know John also mentioned, and you mentioned in the podcast last week. But and others that have come more recently, like Fora and Huckletree and Clockwise. You know, Clockwise is a brand where they've grown rapidly.
Very rapidly, yeah.
And, you know, really exciting business there. But, you know, they've got their first couple opening in London. But in terms of central London, they don't yet have a building. But I know that clients that use them in the regions are saying, when are you going to open up in London? Because they've got that connection with the brand. Yes. And a brilliant service. So, you know, the operators that are doing that well are the ones that are succeeding with really good occupancy rates and long satisfied clients.
Okay, so yeah, and they're yes. So it's not just a case of what's happening in that customer's background or their business. It's actually part, I'm talking about the longevity. It's about what the offer is and the stickiness and how much you can retain those customers and how much they want to grow with you. Of course, part of that's the offer. And do you offer space that allows people to grow and all that sort of thing? But there's so much to do with the less tangible stuff, isn't there? The offer.
Yeah.
Just so that's talking about what people are offering. What's happening with trends, Lucy? Are you seeing we've had quite a few inquiries recently where somebody wants, there's a team of six or seven and they want an office for three. So all of the team are going to use the space. They may be going to use some breakout space, but ultimately there's only ever going to be three or four in at any time. Is that something you're seeing across the market? What sort of trends are happening?
Yeah, we definitely saw more of those types of inquiries come in, you know, post 2020, and people looking at ways of, you know, improving the optimizing their space and how they're using it, etc. So I think that definitely was a growth area. I think it's quite challenging to, you know, really work through that. Maybe on a small scale, it's okay, but certainly larger operators have had to think through, you know, occupancy and health and safety standards within their building. So it's not always easy to kind of service those requirements on a larger scale unless there's some sort of limits around the full staff.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot more checks and balances, yeah.
Exactly. So, so we've definitely seen some of those. I mean, I think there's been some trends that, you know, came out and lots of things were discussed during the pandemic that haven't quite materialized and, you know, remained long-term. So, and I think that's a good thing because some of them, I think, would have proven to be quite challenging for the flex sector overall, like sharing offices and, you know, between businesses that only want it for certain days. And, you know, that just creates more challenges, I would imagine, for a flex operator. In terms of the trends that I think are here to stay, the shift in terms of our clients looking to build flex into their commercial real estate portfolios, and, you know, looking to target potentially a percentage of that they move away from long-term lease spaces into flex. That's absolutely something that we were seeing well before COVID. And then probably there is an acceleration now that's happened in the last couple of years, which is a fantastic opportunity for the sector. Really exciting to see that area grow. And, you know, I think it allows the operators that have the larger spaces to create enterprise solutions for clients.
Yeah.
And, you know, have those corporate anchor tenants in some instances, but then still service the smaller users of flex space as well, which, you know, that mix of combined use definitely creates a good diverse set of tenants within the building. So that's great.
Yeah, so you're just touching on there. There's that trend of, we were talking earlier on about an operator and the landlord, but there's that third partner in there now, which is the actual occupier saying, I want an operator to run my space.
Yeah.
To provide all the things that you do as an operator, but for one tenant.
Yeah.
And that's a trend that's growing, isn't it? Is that being done more on a white label basis? I assume it probably is.
It definitely is. There's more examples popping up of that. I think that we'll see that area grow, not just where they a client wants an operator to come in and run their space as the operator with a single tenant, but also I think we'll see lots more where you'll have an occupier who's identified a building and they want to take a portion of that space, and then potentially an operator come in and run an element of it, or run the whole building and an element of it.
Yeah.
That allows a client to have some flexibility within their building as well. So I think we'll definitely see more relationship between operator and client in terms of how we deliver space together.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, there's the Google, forgive me, I've forgotten the name of the building here in London, where on the upper floors they've got occupancy, but on the lower floors they've got lots of startups and maybe some businesses that they're starting to work with and just trying to create that collaborative environment themselves.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see much more of that type of space coming up. And, you know, that I think that the operator community have the expertise to come in and really add value to that kind of solution. So I think definitely an opportunity there.
Yeah. Great. Fantastic, Lucy. Thanks for that whistle stop tour. The piece there that people might be interested in getting in touch with is about that research. So let's just quickly note some places they can maybe find you, or where they're best going to actually get that information, Lucy. What would be the best place to start?
Come to me. I'm more than happy to have conversations initially. As I said, we have both the relationship team who can initially reach out and have a conversation. So Abby Graves and my team runs that side of things. So Abby and I can certainly service those requests coming in. And then also James Rankin runs the actual research team. And he is the person that delivers it alongside his team members. So any one of us are happy to have a conversation and explain more about how we can help.
Fantastic. And one last thing, Lucy, I know that certainly in the past, you've been, as a business, have been very good at producing reports for the industry.
Yeah.
What going forward, what are the plans for reports for the industry?
We will continue to deliver those to the industry. They're obviously, you know, we believe in giving that insight on a kind of macro level to the market, and also to our clients on what is really going on in the world of flex. And we, you know, we do those on a market by market, sometimes country level basis, sometimes regional level. So we will absolutely continue to market those and also run, you know, webinars and hopefully some face-to-face events where we can actually get to meet and greet lots of our partners again. It's been a while since we've been able to do that. So, so doing events alongside those reports will definitely be reinstated, and the reports have continued the whole way through the last couple of years, and we'll continue to do so.
Fantastic. Okay, super. Thanks for joining me, Lucy.
Thanks very much.
That was such an informative episode. Flex space is a hugely exciting market with more changes and disruption to come. Thanks again to Lucy for that interview and some of those amazing insights into this great market. Flex isn't for everyone, though, and we'll still be talking about more standard commercial products and contract types on future episodes of the podcast. And whether you want to be a landlord and operator, or just one or the other, it's your choice. But choices become much easier when you're informed and you have the information to be able to make that choice. Don't forget we have a Facebook group exclusively for investors and commercial property related content. Just find the page on Facebook at the usual facebook.com/commercialpropertyinvestors and click on the button to join the group. That's where the conversations go on. Make sure you answer the basic questions so we know you're not a bot, and then let's talk. For those of you who like things to be more visual, you like to see things to get a better understanding, then we do have a behind-the-scenes tour day coming up on the 21st of April this year. We'll be touring at least four of our locations, and within that we'll look at things like our container storage, meeting rooms, office space, some industrial space. We'll go to more mature locations and a site currently under redevelopment. Then after lunch, we go in the classroom and we'll go through an introduction to commercial property investing, including a chat about FlexSpace. If you want to know more information about that, there'll be a link in the show notes and you'll be able to click on that and go to the page where we've got lots of information about that. So, it just remains for me to say, looking forward to catching up with you on the next episode. Have a great week and enjoy yourself out there in the commercial swim. Hi there, I hope you're enjoying the content delivered on the CPI podcast. Even though it's free to listen to, it actually takes quite a bit of time and financial commitment to deliver each and every episode. Did you know that by leaving a positive written review, you, yes, you, will have a direct impact on the visibility of the podcast? And that's really important, because by reaching a wider audience, it helps our team to continually improve the overall content that we deliver to you week after week. For some of you, leaving a review will be second nature, but for others, it might be your first one. Open your podcast app, pick the CPI podcast and search for previous reviews. And on iTunes in particular, click to look at all of the reviews and then you'll see an option to leave a written review. Go on, it'll only take 2 minutes and it'll really make our day. And we genuinely read every single one of them.